This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants. 18+. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome back to another instalment of the Blues Focus podcast. I'm Tommy, I'm your host for this evening, and today I'm joined with Richard and Scott. And we'll be discussing on the opening day of the season at Luton. We'll be discussing the up-and-coming first home game of the season against Huddersfield, as well as some possible incoming signings. And as well, if I can get your thoughts on this first, Richard, the latest signing, Christian Bielik, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I didn't see it coming, personally. Obviously, I know there's rumours that Plaketa and himself have the same agent, so obviously that's a link there. And, you know, ultimately for Bielik, it's a case of having to step up a level again to try and make his way into the Poland squad for the World Cup. Is what I'm hearing, but you know, it's a massive risk because obviously we all know about his injury troubles, and ultimately, you know, he's one of those players. If you can keep him fit, unbelievable asset to have around your side. But you know, he hasn't had much of that in the last 5 years since he left us. So fingers crossed for the lad.
Well, same question for you then, Scott.
I'm actually very happy because I think, and I know he's got injuries, and once you get injuries of football, sometimes it's very difficult to get away from that crisis one after the other. But I think we need an upgrade on Woods. I like Reimers, but I don't think he's good enough. I think we need an upgrade on him. So I think Bielik coming in, if he can stay fit, he'll give us a better option, especially in defensive midfield cover, because we know what he can do. It's just getting him on the pitch to do it.
Does he operate more in that defensive midfield role now than more of a centre-back, which is what we saw when he was back with us?
I think he done that when he was at Derby, doesn't he? And he was doing it a couple of games he's been playing there. And I think that's his best position because he's mobile, he can move about, he can pass a ball. And I think he's just a good footballer in general. But I'm excited he's come in. But like Richard said and yourself, I think it's just to stay injury-free. I think that will always be in the back of his mind. You just hope it's not in the back of his mind. He's going for a tackle or two because he's thinking, I don't want to get injured again. But I think it's the type of play we need. I'm just hoping he can stay injury-free because I think he could be an asset to us.
Do you agree with that, Rich?
Yeah, 100%, mate. You know, like I say, it's one of those things. He's a brilliant player and he's very good for this level. But like I say, it's staying on the pitch. You know, ultimately, if we can have him for at least half of the season fully fit, then I think we'll be in a decent position with him. And yes, he is 100% an upgrade on what we've got in midfield. Obviously, when we brought him in the first time round on loan, his position was a holding midfielder. Obviously, he got moved into centre-back, largely because we had injuries at centre-back, but also because of the fact of his stature as well. He's 6'4". You know, and we all remember that performance against Wolverhampton away, where he's put his body on the line. So, you know, like I say, his best position is definitely that holding midfield role, and I just really hope he can stay injury free this season.
In your ideal midfield, who would you play him with in that midfield?
So I'd love to have him sit in that midfield, and I'll put Bakuna and Jordan James in front of him. to go and attack other teams to kind of finally give us that midfield where we can actually make other teams think about what we're going to do rather than with us worrying about them.
No, I completely agree with that. Same question to you then, Scott. Who would you like in that midfield with Bielik?
I think we just said Bakuna and Jordan as a good pairing. Jordan's still learning the game, he's still young. Bakuna, to me, I knew Bakuna when he played the Rangers as well, so I seen what he could do, but his decision-making lets him down a lot of times. He's very talented, Bakuna, technically very good, but it's his decision-making. Sometimes you're like, play the ball through, and he shoots, and other times you're like, take a shot, and then he plays it through, so his decision-making lets him down, but I like him. But yeah. I think it'll go with depends who we're playing. I think if we're playing away from home, he might sit with two. If we're playing at St Andrews against somebody who can probably get points for, he might only sit with one. So it depends who we're playing as well. But I would go with Jordan and I'd go with Bakuna as a two.
Interesting you bring that up, actually, about Bakuna and his decision-making, sort of that lack of like ability to make a decision. He was great against Luton the opening day, but there were times in that game where he was sort of trying to go forward, but then he would take a player on, but then go back and then sort of try and take him on again. So it's interesting you point that out. I definitely noticed that. Sticking with you, Scott, what were your opinions on the first game against Luton?
Well, I've not seen it all, I've seen the highlights. I was trying to watch it, but because I've been working and stuff, and I'm moving house on Friday, so everything's up and down, yeah. So I've got boxes everywhere, that's where I'm sitting in a satirus tonight, and my wife's up the stairs. I think the first half we were okay. Luton are a good side. They finished sixth last season, so they're a decent side. They've got a few good players in there. They've signed a few players as well, so they're a decent side. I thought we done okay in the first half, what I've seen. I thought the second half we were better. We were getting a couple of chances. We had a lot of set pieces. Matt Roberts was going to end a 2-3-4 cross. He was just very unlucky. He didn't connect with him properly. But I thought we gave a good account of ourselves. And what I've seen was we stuck in at the end and we were really happy we got the point. And everybody's saying it's only a point. But it was a point we probably wouldn't have got there a couple of months ago because we weren't really playing that well. And I think you've seen the difference. The players were fighting for each other. And the back three I was really happy with, Trusty, Roberts and Sanderson. I thought they played really well. And John Woody in goal is just, he's bags of experience and he controls the defence. He just shoots at them and balls at them. And I like him in goals. I think he'll be really good signing for us this season. But I was happy with the performance. And like John used to say in his match, post match reaction thing, he just said, well, some of them you can build on. You take every game as its time. What has been really annoying me, as I don't know if it's annoying you too as well, and sorry if I'm speaking quite fast. Everybody's talking about Birmingham City as relegation candidates. Right. When did that happen in the media? I was listening to Talk Sport on Saturday coming home from working Birmingham City relegation candidates. I was like, oh, that's enough. I know we were poor last season, but we're no relegation candidates in my age. We'll maybe be fighting down there, but I don't think we're the worst side in the league.
No, I agree. I don't think we are the worst side in the league, but I can understand where they would come from as relegation candidates because we've been down in that bottom half for like the last six seasons, haven't we? So I can understand why. I think it is harsh a bit though, because we do stay up. It's not like we've been down in that time and come back up and then we're still in that position. We have survived for those seven, six seasons. It's an interesting point you make, yeah. Are we relegation candidates or are we just the sort of same old Blues that sort of is like a lower mid-table sort of team? It's what we're going to have to find out in these up-and-coming games. We'll come to you then, Rich. What were your thoughts on some of the new players, some of the debutants like Trusty and John Ruddy as well? What were your thoughts on those?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, the game was one of those where I kind of looked at it as if we go away to Luton and we get a strong draw, it'll be something to build on. Ruddy just did exactly what we expected him to. I know there was a lot of criticism for him in pre-season when he made that single mistake. And, you know, it's one of those things where at the moment, we kind of have a thing with our fan base where it's one mistake and you're the worst player to ever exist. and it's frustrating for myself because at the end of the day, we all know how good of a good goalkeeper he is. And he started to show that again against Luton. So very strong performance from him. Trusty grew into the game very well. Obviously, he did look nervy to begin with. But you can kind of expect that because it's a different atmosphere for him in terms of obviously where he's played before. All his games have been over in America, where it's not really ever kind of a hostile atmosphere over there. And it's definitely not one of them where you've got players in your face constantly. So, you know, it's promising for him. Ultimately, you know, the major thing for me was us keeping a clean sheet. You know, I always have a thing where I say, away from home, I'll take a draw, and then we go for wins at home. You know, I will always take a draw away from home, and I was quite happy to come away with it against Luton because I was very, very worried based on their summer acquisitions compared to ours.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, it was the best sort of result we could have hoped for against a side who were in the playoffs, like both of you touched on there. Should we have perhaps even nicked the win, perhaps, maybe, Richard?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, obviously, Roberts had a couple of chances that potentially could have put away. Bakuna on the edge of the area once or twice and just scuffed his shot at the vital moment. But again, I think a draw was fair. And, you know, I don't think either team could really make a case for saying we dominated that or we should have won that.
Yeah.
I think both teams have to be happy with that point.
Yeah, it was a good game to watch. It was very entertaining. We'll come to you, Scott, and ask you this. Both Deeney and Hogan on the weekend weren't exactly setting the championship alight, was it? So, like, you know, are they the strikers we need for the season? What's the best options we've got at the moment?
I don't think we've got a lot of great options, to be honest with you. I mean, Duke, Dreedini, Hogan, maybe Cosgrove, they're all very similar. They don't really break the lines. They don't really drag centre-halves away. They just kind of stand still and wait till the ball comes to them. I think Troy's past his best, hasn't he? He's hurt his peak a while back and he's just, he'll give you 100%, but is it enough? Hogan, probably the same. Cosgrove, I was never a fan of Cosgrove, and Duke, I think we can get better on that as well, even though Duke does put himself about. I just think we need a fresh face up front. I don't know who it'll be. I don't know if we've got money to spend, but I think we need somebody with a bit more pace. Somebody probably different than what we've got.
Yeah.
Because with nobody that drags centre-halves away, with nobody that runs the channels, everyone's quite lethargic. You know what I mean?
Perhaps. Suppose this sort of question to you. Would a two be the best system, or a three, or a lone striker? How would we sort of be more of a threat going forward?
Don't know, we go for a lone striker. I know Preston got a boy coming at Chuffy Villa last season who looked very good, and he's only a young lad with a lot of pace. He played England under 21s. I know City's got a few players, United's got a few players you could probably bring in. If that's the route we have to go down, even Liverpool have got one or two. But I don't know if they've got money to purchase a player. That's an issue at the moment. But I think, I don't even know if I would go with a two, because it would have to be one, but it would have to be totally different further. Because that two and Saturday were very similar. And at times, you could throw a blanket over the both of them. They're that close together, do you know that way? So I think we need somebody totally out the box what we've got. And I think the manager will be looking for that. But it's if he can bring it in. Obviously, he's got contacts all about football because John Eustace has played at a high level and knows quite a lot of people. So hopefully he can bring somebody in, even on loan. Just a new phrase to freshen up as well.
Yeah, it's not a partnership like Duke and Adams were, was it? It wasn't the one that was, you know...
She moved about, didn't he? She could run the channel. She could come back. She had ability, but he also had a lot of pace and a lot of energy, and he'd done a lot of things himself. We've not got that.
No, we haven't. It's the difficulty in an ageing front line, and I just argue, like you said, there are just too many similar players in the squad. Do you agree with that, Rich? What do you think? How do we improve that front line?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes back to a conversation myself and you had a couple of weeks ago. You know, to make this work, you have to have dynamic forwards that can get about the pitch really well. And unfortunately, Troy isn't that guy. You know, he's one of them. He'll back into defenders, he'll bully him and everything else. But at the end of the day, that's not what we need at the moment. Hogan, as much as I would say he comes in for criticism about his work rate, but I'd say he works a lot harder than people think. However, he's still not that kind of striker. It almost feels half-hearted when he's closing someone down. And, you know, there's a lot of strikers that are about that are kind of just one of them where they may not be as skillful as Troy and Hogan when they get on the ball. However, the more kind of dynamic and get about the pitch better and, you know, are full-blooded in terms of trying to close down the defence. And that's what we need ultimately, because a lot of our issues this season will come from the fact that we don't close down defenders quick enough. As you'll have seen with the Luton game, every attack that they built up was down to us not closing down that defence quick enough.
Yep.
And then being able to build up an attack from their defence.
Mm.
As you say, the system only works if you do it the right way, and that has to be pressing from the front. And I'm just not sure Hogan and Dean are the people to do it. And we definitely know Duke can't get around like that anymore. So, you know, we definitely need something new up front.
Mm. Here's a question for you. I'll ask this to you first, Rich, and then we'll come to you, Scott. By some miracle, and this could be hypothetical, if we were to get Che Adams back tomorrow, who would you play him with? From the strikes we have right now.
I mean, it's a difficult one, really, because it worked so well with Duke because of, obviously, you could... Between those two, you kind of had a period of games throughout that season where they target Che or they target Duke, but they couldn't target both of them.
Mm.
So then they were both getting their goals during that season. Could Duke do that again? I don't think so, personally. He definitely looks a lot more beaten down than he was a couple of years ago.
Mm.
I'm not sure how Deeney could do it either. But then you have that position where it's like, because Che is so much better on the ball, then could we potentially play him with Hogan? And then Hogan could be that 20-goal a season striker with everything being set up for him by Adams. I'm not sure. It's really difficult to kind of work out what would work well.
Yeah. You're in the same boat there, Scott.
It's a difficult one, but I would probably pick Troy just for the fact I'm desperate for him to succeed. I like him to score goals just because he's always wanted to play for us and score the goals. And I think with Che, he's got the experience, like Richard said, they can hold the ball up and bring others into play at times, and the way she's movement, that could possibly work. So I'll go with Troy just because I'm desperate for him to score a few goals. just before he eventually packs things. I think he wants to, but I think his brain's still fitter than his legs, do you know that way?
Yeah, completely. It is a difficult situation those Blues fans are in, because he needs to start pulling his weight a little bit, because for the player that we've signed, we expect him to at least get 10. You know, Scott Hogan was our top goal scorer last season. But it's kind of a shame that neither of you thought that Duke was going to be good enough anymore for that role. But it's just, unfortunately, maybe he's just the wrong side of 30 now. Sticking with Duke, there's been recently a couple of talking points about the wage bills. From some of the players. They've got a list here of some of the players who are extortionate or high earnings. Extortion is probably the wrong word. Neil Effridge, Harley Dean, Lukas Djukovic and George Friend. They could all depart this summer. I think they're all on 75 grand a week. I think that's what it is. I'm not going to be quoted on that. But of course, a lot of those players are still very first team players. We'll come to you, Scott, with this first. If we were to lose all of those players, all Effridge, Dean, Duke and Friend, you know, how do we look for this season, that taken out of the team?
I think sometimes you have to look at the positive. If the four of them do go, it could be a loss for us in some ways, but getting that wage bill down, it might be able to let the manager bring in players that need it being on loan, maybe use some younger boys for the academy or a bit of both, because we kind of keep sticking the same players who are tried and tested, but nothing's happening at the club. We're standing still. So I think we do need a change. And sometimes you just have to get rid of the players at the higher earners, because if we're going to be sitting in the stands not playing anyway, what's the point of being there? But the main problem will be is who's going to take them.
Yeah.
Because if they're earning that money here, they might not get it elsewhere. And if they're in the contract, they might just dig their heels in and say, I'm staying here because I'm earning this amount of money. I'm not going to get that A, B, or C. So I'll stick here until I'll get a game or until my contract runs done. So it's very difficult at times.
Yeah, we've got a couple of options that we could do. We could either sell them now. They could either run their contract down, some of them. I don't know who's got how much left on their contract. So I don't know whether George Friend's got a couple of months left on his or whatever. Or we play them and in the hope that we suddenly become better so we can have more money. And, you know, the main aim would be to get back into the Premier League so we could just, we could have all those debts sort of paid off. Coming to you, Rich, same sort of question. But loan players and those sort of types of players, is that promising?
No, I mean, ultimately, you don't want to be rebuilding every season. However, it's one of those things where, you know, if it's a case of taking loan players for this season to get rid of all the high wages, then it may be a necessary evil. You know, ultimately, it's a case of, can we bring players in with the budget that we've got at the moment if these guys stay? I'm not sure. Obviously, there's rumours about potentially Jason Knight coming, which I can't understand where they've come from, because Derby will be asking for a fee and I can't imagine it'll be cheap because he's a young player and he's very promising. So it's one of those situations where you ask yourself, Do we take the loss for now and potentially leave ourselves short? Or do we hold on to players who potentially don't really have much to offer us? No, ultimately, it looked as if there was never a way back for Harley Dean after last season. All of a sudden, he's back around it again and, you know,
singing his name in pre-season games and everything.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, he's one of those players for me who's, he frustrated me from day one from his comments about Brentford. I found him really disrespectful myself. To turn around and talk about going to a club in the same division as the club you've just left, about us being 10 times bigger. And now I know that would have got a certain portion of fans on side. And, you know, he probably didn't mean it to be offensive towards Brentford. But ultimately, what you've done there is burn your bridges at your old club and essentially set your new club up for failure.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was one of those that I took some time to warm to in the first place anyway. And the way he's behaved with each manager that's gone by, of just, I don't really have much time for the bloke, unfortunately.
Interesting. That's something I've not really taken into account with him before. I suppose, did you ever warm to him with certain seasons?
So, towards the end of his first season, obviously, that partnership with him and Morrison, I enjoyed the way they worked together, because it was a case of Morrison was that solid player and Harley Dean could step out and do what he did while he was at Brentford. But like I say, as we started to go through manager after manager, it always seemed like he was part of the problem, and it may not be that case, because, you know, from the outside looking in, you can't really tell. But it always seemed to be he was a major influence in what was going on. Like I said to one of my friends before, what always comes before a manager's downfall? A Harley Dean meltdown.
Wow. What do you think of that, Scott?
He's probably got a bit of truth in that. He's been okay. He's not really set the hair on fire for me, but he's been okay, I think. Richard, right, he has some good games. He's had games where he's been okay, but you remember him more for his off the field antics, what he says, what he does, and you do if we're on the field. And even at Brent, I think he was the same at Brentford, was he not? He was a bit of a mouthpiece as well, so I think he's just one of these guys. His time's at the club's been. He's been and done. Yeah. I think he does have to move on. And if he can get a couple of players out the door and they let John Eustace bring a couple of players in, that would suit me fine.
Yeah, I suppose we have been a bit too loyal to some players like Duke and those other players. You touched on it a bit, Richard, about Jason Knight bringing him in. We've also been linked to Hannibal. I'm not going to even try and pronounce his last name because I can't work out if the J is silent or whatever. No, I'll just leave it. So Hannibal from Manchester United and Jason Knight from Derby. We'll come to you, Scott, with Hannibal first. Do you know much about him? What do you expect from him?
I think he played United one. Did not come on and won in Champions League games, if I remember rightly. When they were getting out, he came on. One of the games he came on, I don't know a lot about him. You probably get some talent on it. You're not in my 80s academy if you're a bad player. You don't really go through the academy being a poor player. So I think he could come in and do something for us. But like Chong Dunne, he came in, done really well at the start and then kind of faded. I know he got injured, but kind of faded. I don't know. I think, is he worth a gamble? He probably is. Because on that, it's a fresh face, but I prefer bringing somebody like Jason Knight in.
Yeah.
He's played in the Championship, he's an established, he was getting to be an established player for Derby. He's also played Wylands, so a bit more experience under his belt, so I think he would suit us better.
Would he come straight into the first team, Jason Knight?
I would think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know much about him, to be quite honest. I've heard of his name before, but I can't remember if he was playing in that Derby game, that crazy 2-2 game.
Was he not linked to a German side? Derby did say they wanted a good few million or something for him, so like Richard said, I don't know where the money's coming from. Maybe that's the reason to get rid of these high earners. I don't know.
Yeah, or the opposite's probably happening for them. Maybe they just can't afford to keep them, so they might just go on the cheap somehow. It's what we've had to do with other players before, like Munch and Redmond and all those players. We'll come back to you, Rich, then. You touched a little bit on Jason Knight. Do you know much about Hannibal?
So all I really know about him is he's very highly rated over at Man United. You know, I've heard his name banded around for a couple of years now. And, you know, it's only really been last season that he kind of had a bit of a breakthrough with them. I believe he's starting for Tunisia these days. I think originally he was on the French nationality, but now he's playing for Tunisia. Mm. He's very much an unknown quantity. Obviously, he's done well for their under 23 side, but you know, you kind of look into it and saying, is that what we need at the moment? Can we afford another risk? Because you know, he touched on the fact that we're relegation candidates to the media and everything else. And quite frankly, we have to have things go well for us this season to make sure that we're not. So I'm all about giving young players a chance. But if it's between giving a young player a chance from another club or bringing in someone with more experience and giving our own youth players a chance, I'd much rather give it to our own.
Interesting, yeah. Because it's good to invest in the youth, but the next point we've got here is that there's 7 games we've got to play in August. One of them is a cup game, but, I mean, that's a lot of games to play just in 1 month. So, I mean, if we're going to be relying on youth players or just on first-team players, like there's going to be tired legs in that team already after the first couple of games in the season. So, what do you think to that, Rich? I mean, like, can we put up with that? How much do you... Well, we've got 7 games. So I don't know how many points that is in total. It's about 20... God, my terrible maths is coming in here now.
Well, 21 points because of the cup game.
18, that's it. Yes, 18. I'm right. Yes, you're right. So throughout those available 18 points, how many do you think we can win from that?
I mean, having looked at the pictures, I was kind of targeting Rotherham away and Wigan. Outside of those, it's very much a lottery. Some very, very tough pitches coming up. We've got Norwich twice in a month. You know, I'd like to think we can get at least 7 or 8. It'd put us in a decent position. However, I'm thinking maybe we're probably looking at 6 points.
Right, okay.
Unfortunately. And, you know, we're not the only team that's having to deal with as many games this month.
True.
However, I feel like other teams may be more well-stocked to deal with it just because our numbers are very low. And like you say, half of the first team at the moment are youth players.
Mm.
So how are they going to cope with it? And you know, it's a very difficult position to be in, and it's also one of those where you have to say to yourself, we don't want to bring in numbers just for the sake of bringing in numbers.
Yeah, because we could possibly bring up another situation like that wage bill again. We'll come to you, Scott, then. I've just brought up the teams who are playing. So we've got Huddersfield, which is the game we've got next on Friday. We're then travelling away to Norwich in the League Cup. We've then got Cardiff away, Watford and Wigan at home, Rotherham away, and Norwich at home. Does that make you feel a bit more optimistic?
I think home fixtures, we just have to think, take care of himself. When you're playing at home, no matter where you're sitting in the league, you always fancy a result because you're at home.
Mm.
I know St Andrews is a bit different at the moment because you're not getting the full crowd in because of the way the ground is at the moment. But you should always fancy yourself at home no matter how you're playing. The young kids, for me, don't bother but I think I'm into a squad because young kids play without fear a lot of times. They don't really go into a situation where they're scared to make mistakes because they know they're going to, and the fans don't go on their back as quickly as maybe the experienced players, so young players will be fine. But I just think we take it game as a game at a time. I think that's what the manager doing, that's what the squad were doing. I'm actually quite optimistic. I think we maybe get 9 points. Maybe that's my heart rolling my head, but I think we'll be okay. I think we'll actually do okay. The cup game, it doesn't really bother me. I like cup competitions, but I'd rather get the league points first.
Yeah.
To make sure we get points in the league. So I'm looking forward to the games, but like I say, Huddersfield, I was down at Huddersfield game last season where Huddersfield looked really good last season, I have to say, but they've lost a couple of players. They lost Toffolo and O'Brien, didn't they, to Forest, and they were two of the better players, so hopefully I've not really replaced them. So we'll see what turns up, but Huddersfield are a decent outfit. But I think we just take it a game at a time and see how we do. So I'm looking forward to the games, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, it does look exciting. I mean, like, it's great for us as fans because we've got loads of games on in 1 month. We'll stick with you, Scott, for this final question. We've got 7 minutes left on the Zoom call because, again, we still don't have a Zoom license, amazingly. So, Friday night against Huddersfield, first home game of the season. What do you think it's going to be like?
I think it'll be tense. I think it'll be a tough game because Huddersfield, like I said earlier, are not a bad side, but hopefully we can keep it tight at the back and maybe snatch a goal. Last season, we'd done okay against them. Need a bit more quality, didn't they, up front? I remember rightly, they scored 2 goals I think it was in the second half of the first, I can't remember. It was that long ago now. Because I don't come out many games, I'm just thinking to myself, but I remember we weren't the great. I think I was Jordan James, one of his first games he played, he came on, didn't he? So I think we'll be okay. I think after the result against Luton, I think the pros will be fine, right? We've got a clean sheet. So I'll be happy with that. The new guys will be looking forward to getting out at St Andrews. I think the crowd will be up for it because the first home game of the season, you're always up for that. And it's on TV as well. So, no, I think we'll be okay. I fancy us to sneak it.
Sneak a win?
Yeah.
All right, okay. So we've got a win coming from Scott. Rich.
I have to be positive.
It's very true. You've got to be positive, yes. Rich, give us your equally as optimistic opinion.
I'm really not sure what to expect. Obviously, you know, we would have seen Huddersfield on TV last week, kicking off the season. They didn't really look great, did they? But
it was nothing special, was it?
Yeah, but then they were facing one of the teams to come down. So, you know, it's how much do you read into that? I think it's an interesting kind of subplot that our first team coach has now went over to them just before we played them. Yeah, I mean, whoever sanctioned that one. If we lose on Friday, it's gonna be war. It's an interesting one. I'd always like to say that at home, we've always got a chance. I think we'll have to start fast against them. They look like one of those sides. If you let them build into the game, then you'll be in trouble. Obviously, every time we've ever played them, they've usually had about 60% possession against them. So they're clearly a team that likes to keep the ball. I'm going to go with a 1-0 win.
1-0.
I'm going to go with a 1-0 win. And I'm going to go that it's either going to be at the very start or very end. So either we're going to have to hang on for 86 minutes or we're going to score in the 91st.
Yeah.
One or the other.
I'll take the second option.
Yeah. So we're going for a 1-0 win from Richard. Scott, is it something similar perhaps, or maybe a 2-1 maybe?
2-1 it'll be.
2-1, yeah. Yeah, I think if we are going to win, I would go for something like 2-1 because, I don't know, I can't see us not conceding against a team like that. No, not early, not this early in the season. But there again, we held out for a draw against Luton and maybe they've not had the best start in terms of losing at home to Burnley. Their fans were definitely not happy with this. Were they booed off at half-time or something by a couple of fans?
Football fans are fickle. No matter who you support, football fans are fickle.
Well, we've got to hope, I think, because, you know, that first game was positive. So against another team, we finished in the playoffs last season. I think we should at least fancy our chances of getting a possible chance of winning because we played well against Luton the other day. So that kind of wraps it up, really. I don't know whether anything else we've missed, but if we have, be sure to put them down in the comments below and we'll try and pick it up on the next podcast. We are trying to keep these as frequent as possible, so that's why they're a little bit shorter, a little bit more condensed with more stuff we're talking about. So it's more regular in that way, so we can keep you up to date. But I'm very happy to have been joined by Scott and Richard this evening. They've been very good guests. Scott, this is actually both your first times here on the podcast. This is a new one for me.
First time one. I'm really enjoying it. Thank you for asking me to come on. I appreciate that.
No worries. It's been very good. Thank you to Richard. It's been very good. We're going to sign this one off. I can't remember what episode number this is. I think it's my second one of hosting. I'm not used to hosting, so please go easy on me in the comment section, or I don't abuse me for it. But yeah, of course, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back as soon as the next one comes out, really. So be sure to subscribe to the Blues Focus YouTube channel. I'll be posting the vlog for the Huddersfield game when it's on the Friday and it's Saturday. Of course, as well, follow us on iTunes and make sure to rate this podcast as well on Spotify. And thank you for listening and we'll see you next time. Keep right on.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.